Well, this is going to be fun. This is going to be an interesting service. You can be turning, now believe this or not, Zechariah. I don't know that you've ever, when I did a service, turned to Zechariah, maybe once. Give you time, because I know the pages in my Bible are more new in Zechariah than they are in other places. It's not where I go a lot. You can go to chapter 14. I'm not going to give you the verse yet because I want you to be listening right now. And most of you know that this past week we were in Houston. Sue and I and Tim and Dave and many people from here were there. And it was called the Kingdom Finance Conference. And I think it's going to forever be known as KFC. Not Kentucky Fried Chicken. But the Kingdom Finance Conference. And in my personal opinion, in times to come, if the Lord tarries, church history will point back to that conference as being one of the turning points for the body of Christ. I saw several miraculous things there that I didn't know that I would ever see in my lifetime. Having gotten born again in 1980 and right at the height of the, quote, prosperity message and many of the abuses that's been done in that, in the name of prosperity. And throughout that whole conference, now the speakers were LaRue, Dave, myself, Tim Stemple, and many of you don't know Russ Gressett. But Russ spoke, and then there were some others that had some smaller portions of the service. None of us rehearsed the messages ahead of time. Not one of us consulted with the other as to what would be spoken. Now, Dave, just so you'll know, he taught a little and ministered a lot. This was not just a teaching seminar. This was a life-changing seminar. There were impartations that people are not going to ever be the same. Now, we're blessed to sit under that kind of anointing a lot. But many of these that came are not under that kind of anointing. But out of all those different speakers, as I listened to how the Holy Spirit put those messages together, I was just amazed. It was one author. It was one hand guiding this thing. Every message seemed to just dovetail with the one before and after it. The anointing that came, there was different anointings. There was one service where Mr. Button down here, Gary, you know, I'm not really Canadian. Alan, you're not here, are you? Okay, good. I love Alan Taylor. Alan and I are a lot alike. Now, he blames it on being Canadian. I'm definitely not Canadian. I'm from Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. But, you know, he says Canadians just don't get excited like some people do. He says, you know, Elaine Homer can be jumping and dancing and twirling and singing. And he says, I am too on the inside. But he says, on the outside, this is me getting excited. Just kind of, yeah. And I'm going, that's me too, Alan. And I don't know why I'm that way, but I am. I'm pretty conservative, and boy, don't think I don't love the Lord. Don't think my emotions aren't involved, but that's just not me. And I've watched people, I with envy almost, not quite, because I don't want to say that it was, but it was close. They get under these heavy anointings, and they can't stand, and they get drunk in the Spirit. And I love to see Daisy when the Spirit comes on her, those feet take off, man. Don't you love that? Glory to God. I love that kind of, and I've always thought, well, Lord, you know, Sue and I one time, we went to a Rodney Harrod Brown meeting years ago, and he was here, and that laughing anointing was at its peak, and we were out at this church where he was, and I mean, it was falling everywhere around us. And Sue and I are just sitting there going, you know, it wasn't falling, we're laughing at the people laughing, you know, I mean, it's funny, you know, but it hasn't fallen on us, and we're both going, Lord, we're candidates for this. Well, you know, it's okay, we're candidates for this, but it never did fall on us like that. But I've always been a little envious of people that it did, you know. I just see them. Now, once in a while, in a line, I've staggered. One time, Donner, the guy got a picture of me over in the corner where I was like stumbled around like a... But that was when I was on the receiving end of the anointing. Somebody prayed for me and whap. I think it was Donner. It's her fault. But anyway. But during one of these services, I don't know where it came from, but I do know where it came from. I don't know why it came. I don't know a whole lot of what happened while it was on me. But I was the drunkest man you ever saw. And the anointing was so strong. I mean, at first I kind of had my wits about me. At first I was okay. And I'd go, in the name. And I'd kind of put my head, you know, my hands on their head. In the name, like that. Splat. In the name, splat. But then that anointing hit and my knees kept going away. My knees, I'd just be there fine, and all of a sudden I'm not fine, and I'm just going down. And they got two of these great big old burly guys on the side of me, and they're holding me up, and I'm going, in the name. And this mist, like a white fog, I don't know what else to call it, would come on me. I don't think it was in the room, but to me it was, and I couldn't see through it. And I remember doing this, I couldn't tell if they had me in front of somebody or not. And I'm going, for benefit of the tape, I'm just kind of here befuddled with my hands going, and I'm feeling to see if there's anybody to even lay hands on. And I thought, this is as bad as it's going to get. And then everyone, whoa, you know, my knees. And finally, I can't even stand. There's two guys, both of these big guys, they're holding me up on each side. I can't lift my arms anymore. They're taking my arm. They're taking my arm in the name. and I'd go, in the name, like this. And they'd go splat, you know, and I go, okay, Bernard, you ready? In the name, kind of, over there, wouldn't they? And I'm going, and then every now and then I think those guys get tired, they kind of see if I could stand, crumpled on the floor, no, he can't stand, and pick me back up. Larry, you wasn't there that day, was you? Thank God, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Trouble is, all that's on video. Oh, I don't know how long. I don't know how much of that they're going to edit out, but we'll see. But I'll tell you one thing that I'm really happy about. I know it's real now. I know I didn't fake it. So if I've ever criticized anybody for that, I apologize in Jesus' name. I apologize. It's real. In the name. I'll never, in the name. And they're just still falling like crazy anyway. So that, I never seen anything like it. There were several times when the music and the anointing and the teaching and the timing came together. A presence would come into place. I don't have enough experience yet to put words with what I felt. But I'll tell you this, I'm not ever going to be the same. The people that came out of there are never going to be the same. And God's kingdom is never going to be the same. Now here's some miracles that I saw at a Christian KFC, a Christian Kingdom Finance Seminar. Yes, sir. Before I tell you this, Lord help me remember miracles that I've seen. Okay. I had a dream before, about 5 days before the conference. I'm not going to get into the details of it. I don't think that's the issue. But the dream was very easy to interpret. Anybody could interpret this one. The message of the dream was holy. Everything that's done at this conference is to be holy unto the Lord. No personal agendas. No one trying to expand their ministry. No one trying to expand their business. No one with any personal agendas other than serving the Lord. I shared that with Tim. I shared that with LaRue and Dave before the conference. They already had they didn't have the same dream, but they had the same instructions from the Lord. Now here's the miracles. Not one time in a week-long conference did I hear one time during an offering or any other time, that God's going to make you rich because of your giving. Not one time. Not one time during the entire conference was the congregation threatened, like you'll be cursed if you don't, or bribed, hundredfold return if you do. In fact, to be honest with you, not one of the teaching services, not one of them, was giving even hardly brought up. Because the whole point of the conference was having to give. You understand the difference? We're starting to get past the superficial things, getting down to the real things of how the kingdom operates, because like it or not, you are still on planet Earth. And God designed Earth in the beginning to be Adam's provision machine. You understand that? God made the earth, made the trees, made the fruit. From the beginning, God designed the earth to be the provision machine, if you'll allow me, for Adam. And it is still His provision machine. Interaction between us and the earth. I'm talking about vocations. I'm talking about occupations. I'm talking about interacting, the kingdom of God interacting with the world. Not only to bring provision for your needs, but also abundance for the kingdom's needs. Not one time during this whole conference did I hear any kind of message like, the way that you're supposed to prosper is by giving to me or giving to my ministry. Not once. Did you, Rudy? Not one time. Nothing even close to that. Nothing even close. When offerings came, it was like we do it here. Check your heart. Ask the Lord. What would He have you give, or what do you want to give? That was the message every single time. All right, here's another miracle that I saw at a Christian prosperity conference. Call it what you will. There's lots of business people there. Now, it may have happened, but if it did, it didn't happen where I knew it. Not one time did anybody try and get me to invest in their program, their business, their marketing scheme, pyramid, Mary Kay. I don't care. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody was there to sell stuff. So Mary Kay is fine. I'm not picking on Mary Kay. Okay. It could be anything. The point I'm trying to say is nobody came to sell stuff. Nobody came with the idea of, oh boy, here's how I'm going to get some more customers for my business. And no ministries came that I know of with the idea of, this is how I'm going to increase my ministry. Far as I could tell, it was holy. It was holy unto the Lord. And I was talking with Dave just a little bit on the phone right before the service, and I was talking about that very thing to him. He says, you know what? He says, we didn't get to spend time with every single person that was there. He says, I have a feeling that even if maybe there might have been a few sheep that did try something like that. He says, but I think from the Lord's point of view, even if they did, I think they're such lambs that they're not yet accountable. But if it even happened at all, I'm not aware of it. Who ever heard of such a thing? A kingdom finance conference that doesn't center on your giving. And a kingdom finance conference where nobody came to sell you anything. Glory to God. It was something else. Now, one of the particular days that I think Sue and I were coming back from a lunch for an afternoon meeting. I'm not sure what day it was. It was maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. And we're driving and parking. By the way, it was well attended. We had to park all the way across the parking lot most days. And that's fine. I need to walk anyway. Glory to God. We ate in a Chinese restaurant, and I had somebody take a picture of me by the Buddha because after I ate so much, I looked like him. So I said, well, I'll smile and get a picture by the Buddha, you know. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, we was coming back from lunch, parked all the way across the parking lot, got out, and we're walking towards the church. And the head usher, I don't know his last name, his first name is Tim. He's a great big guy. I mean, he's the kind of, he either should be an usher or a bouncer. He's a great big guy. You're going to listen when he talks, okay? I'm really glad he's saved and not mad at me. I wouldn't want to meet this guy. Another one was with him. I think his name is Carl. He's a great big guy. Neither one of these guys, I'm so glad they're saved. I mean, I'm so glad. I would never want, not want to meet the unsaved versions in a dark alley anywhere, okay? And both of them, as we're getting out of the car and walking in for the afternoon service, they're just walking out. There's a big old dumpster, trash dumpster at the corner of the parking lot, and they've got these great big bags of trash. Great old big bags. I mean, I'd have a hard time picking one up. These big old boys, they got one in each hand, you know, four bags and two of them. And they're just walking out there and talking back to each other. They're just taking the trash to the dumpster. I minded my own business. And I hear, I've been training myself a long time to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. And when he talks, I'm pretty good at hearing him anymore. And as clear as I've ever heard him say anything, I'm looking at these two old boys, talking and having a good time, carrying the trash out. And I hear the phrase, and quote it exactly, holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. I just made a mental note of it, and I thought I was hoping I'd have time to check it out during that week, but we were so busy, there wasn't any time. So I looked it up when it got back, did a search in my computer. Those exact words only appear in the King James Bible three or four times. Once over in Jeremiah, and I didn't really get anything out of that. But it appears twice here in Zechariah. And I could hardly believe my eyes. I'm going to read it to you two ways. Let's read it out of the King James. I didn't really make the connection so well then. But then when I read it out of the Living Bible. Now remember what was going on. Remember what was going on. What I was seeing when I heard that phrase. I saw these two big old lumberjack looking guys. Carrying big old bags of trash. Out from a Kentucky. No, not the Kentucky. A Kingdom Finance Conference. Just talking and having a good time and carrying trash out. And the Lord says, holiness unto the Lord. Now remember that when you get to the Living Bible version. Zechariah, if you haven't found it by now, look on with your neighbor. They have probably. Zechariah 14, let's look at verses 20 and 21. Now King James Version says it like this. In that day, shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Okay. Nice. King James-y, isn't it? Listen to that same thing out of the Living Bible. In that day the bells on the horses will have written on them, these are holy property. And the trash cans in the temple of the Lord will be as sacred as the bowls beside the altar. Ow! Isn't it amazing? You hear me say that all the time. It's amazing how the Holy Ghost knows the Bible. It's amazing how He knows the Bible. Read the other verse. Now here's these old boys taking the trash out. And the Lord says, Holy Ghost says, holiness unto the Lord. I've got to read that verse. I'm going to read them both now. If I can get past it without jumping here. Verses 20 and 21 out of the Living. In that day the bells on the horses will have written on them, these are holy property. And the trash cans in the temple of the Lord will be as sacred as the bowls beside the altar. In fact, every container in Jerusalem and Judah shall be sacred to the Lord Almighty. All who come to worship may use any of them free of charge to boil their sacrifices in. And there will be no more grasping traders. That's T-R-A-D. We would say business people. Grasping business people in the temple of the Lord Almighty. That's exactly what I saw last week. It's exactly what we saw, isn't it? We had all kinds of businessmen, but these are business people that even the trash cans in their offices are holy unto the Lord. The Lord said, this conference is so mine. We're coming into a time of holiness. We're my remnant, the people that are holy unto me, I consider even the trash in their houses holy. One of the messages you'll hear, I talked with LaRue again today because everybody is bombarding him and us both about how soon will these be on the internet. They're working on it and we're working on it, okay? We want to do a good job. But I was asking him about this. Oh, excuse me. My goodness. Yes. Okay. Buddha Masinte. Okay. Oh, okay. I know you real well. Larry. Come up here. I knew this was going to happen, but apparently I was taking too long. Larry didn't know it was going to happen, but I knew it was going to happen. So the Lord just took my mind away and says, I want Larry to talk now. Come on up here. It's okay. I'm not in charge. I don't want to be in charge. From a businessman's point of view, or just from our friend's point of view. Rudy, you're next. Sure. Try and hold it down to 2 or 3 hours.
Probably what was different for me is that I went not expecting anything that I thought I'd already heard here through Dave, Gary, Tim. But as I sat there in one service and I heard the Lord speak to me, and He told me that I could go on back to my old ways. That I could go back to doing what I used to do. Because I could have my old lifestyle back. I didn't necessarily want it back, but He said, where you are now, you can have your old lifestyle back. You can still be saved. You can still probably have some reward. But you could go on back because I don't need you anymore. It wasn't exactly like that. It was probably a little harsher. And what He was telling me is that I had forgotten. I talk about doing the message, but I didn't do the message anymore. I come and I sit and I try to think of an excuse maybe to leave a little early, or I don't come. I come late. I'm not doing the work of the Father. I'm not doing what He asked me to do. I'm doing what I want to do. And I make no sacrifices. I'm not sacrificing. I'm just doing what I want to do. I changed the message to fit me. And He said, I don't need you anymore. You can go on back to your own lifestyle. And when He told me this, I was frightened because I understood. I heard better than I ever heard before. Why shouldn't I hear? He discarded me, or it's there to discard. Now, what happens from this? We all know what to do next. There was no question I knew what to do. Is it you have to change? Well, I had made the decision then to make the change. See, to make the change and don't change, you're worse than where you started, at least for me. So what I have to do, I can't make that change yet. I mean, because it's this time it has to be maybe more fine-tuned. I'm not ready to make the change. Will I make the change? Sure. Anybody ask me, you're going to make the change? Yes. But see, I can't make the change if I can't. The old saying, if I can't walk the walk or talk the talk. So I can't. I have to make the change because my father has said he doesn't need me anymore. Now, I don't hear real well, but if you walk away thinking Larry made up what he's saying, it bothered me that I caught Gary underneath the stairwell, and I said, I need 1 minute. And I began to weep. I hadn't wept a great deal up till then because I was just taking it in, understanding that, is that really what you told me? I mean, it's like a conversation, except only one person's talking and I'm the one listening, so I know what I'm hearing. So I stopped Gary underneath the stairwell and said, come, let me tell you what he told me. Because there were two things I thought that I might see at the conference. One was people looking for a formula. If I do this and this and this and this, I'm going to get this. That's not what we've been taught. And the second thing was that someone might be looking for a franchise that would only church members got a hold of. So as I talked to Gary, I just explained to Gary, my heart, and I was ready, I needed to make the change. But I haven't made the change yet. Because this is permanent change. I only thought I was doing permanent change. So I've been called to make the change. And I'm thinking about making the change. I never come at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. Never. And I don't have a problem coming at any time. But I never come at Wednesday night. Well, is that part of the change? It's better than was before. You know, so that's all.
Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to do it. I did this once at the conference. Did I hear God or what? Having him talk. Rudy, come on up. Just so you'll know, Larry, because we never get to talk. It's amazing how Larry's a man that I would lay my life down for, and I know he would do. He is doing, to a large extent, that for us. And yet we really never have time to fellowship, and it's that way with many of you here. And I don't know that that's going to change. But see, Larry, I had the opportunity to fellowship with others. This great old big man come up to me, and I don't want to tell too much. I don't want to isolate him because he's one of several. But he's one of those guys. And LaRue has a lot of big people at his church. I don't know if it's because he's tall. I don't know what it is. I had to stand on a step to hug him right in front of everybody. I had to get on a step to hug LaRue. But anyway, this great big guy comes up to me, Larry, just so you'll know. And it was the service after I had done the one about the rich fool in Luke 12, whose ground produced plentifully. But I said, now watch the eyes and the minds. I will gather into my barns. I will say to my soul. Y'all know the story. This guy came up, he's a businessman also, and he said the Lord gave him this business several years ago, and it's really been a blessing. He said it's brought us more money than I ever dreamed would ever make. And in the beginning, we were doing it right. It was the Lord's, and we recognized it was the Lord's. But he said, Gary, over the years, I didn't even realize it had happened to me. But the eyes and the eyes have gotten me. He said, after hearing these messages this week, me and my wife, we're going to sit down again. We're going to go through the provision and the pound and all those things. We're going to find again our place as a steward in the house of our God. You're not the only one. God was talking all over to business people like that. Just anything you want, you got 2 or 3 hours.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Tell him your name.
Worship you, Lord. My name is Rudy Spurk.
Rudy Spurk.
Yes. I might share some things with you that Gary doesn't know. Well, probably no one other than my son, maybe. And Janine knows about this. I might have shared it with Brother Norman, I think. But on Tuesday morning, I always go at 6 when the doors are open. Becky can attest to that, and pray before the meetings. And on Tuesday morning in particular, Bruce, one of my investors that came with me, he and Colin from Lincoln, Nebraska, and Bruce and I were there, and the doors weren't unlocked yet. And I had definite instructions, Gary, definite instructions. I want you to pace in front of the altar, like I've done here before in the mornings, but I want you to pace in front of the altar, and I want you to speak out of your mouth. I want you to start decreeing and declaring that this day be the day that the holiness will prevail. And the Lord said, I want you to start worshiping me in the spirit of holiness. Just continue to worship me in the spirit of holiness. So I just began to pray and pace back and forth Tuesday morning. And the anointing began to get heavier and heavier, and I began to walk slower and slower. And sometimes I couldn't even take a step. I was teetering. And one of the intercessors at the church in Houston came in at about 6:20. And she was sitting in the back. Veronica was her name. And she saw something. I didn't know this. I mean, I just thought she decided to change where she was sitting. She got up and she came up to the platform and she sat in one of the chairs up on the platform. And I had noticed that she had gone up there, but I didn't, you know, pay any attention to it. She was up there for a while and then she left. Well, what I found out later on was that she had gone and talked to Bruce, my friend that was sitting and praying out in the seats. And she said, do you know this man up there? And he said, yes, and he's a friend of mine. And she said, well, I don't want to disturb him, but when I came in, I noticed someone behind him and didn't think anything of it. And then she came up and sat down, and the person wasn't there. And then she saw in the spirit that she said there was this huge angel following me, listening to what I was saying as I was going back and forth. And then, if you recall, that morning, the opening prayer, the woman that was, I don't know her name, was praying. She was asking for the angels to come in and saturate the building. And then a little later in the service, LaRue had said he saw the angel of inheritance. And then he talked about Caleb, his friend. It was the same one that Caleb saw in a meeting that they were at. And he said, if you don't know there's an angel of inheritance, it's the same one that went before the tribe of Israel into the promised land. And he was known as the hornet that went and destroyed the works of the enemy. And so the Lord showed me that these were in the prophecies that came forward that day. And the message that you gave was so instrumental. And talking about holiness and what the Lord did that day was phenomenal. That was the day that the pots, I believe, broke and the trumpets were declared, which were the instruments of war to break in the heavenlies. These things that are essential for us to walk into this realm of finance that no one has ever seen in the earth. The former and the latter rain are here now, right now. And we've got to realize that and walk in it. And I said, oh, I called all these people that are involved with me financially, indirectly or directly, and I said, this is not a conference like we know conferences. This is going to go down in the annals of time and recorded history as being the day that the pendulum swung. We have not just stepped onto the threshold, we've stepped into the room. And we are here. And God is telling me, for those that want to operate in this, they must know it and walk in it. Not believe it's coming, but it's here now. And I've been saying, and everybody's calling that didn't come, what happened? What happened? I said, well, we're in the room. We're now in the room. And things are starting to happen. Ministries, I'm getting emails and business things are, you know, it's happening. We're here. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited. Can you tell?
Amen. Hallelujah. Give Rudy a hand. Just wait on the Lord here a minute. Tim, they would love to hear from you. But Tim always has the option of saying no, right, church? Ah, good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ireland is here. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Ruthie is here.
I think one of the most significant things happened the service after the conference was over with. It was the Sunday morning. I don't have a copy of the service yet. But the Lord come forth with a very strong prophecy that said, everyone who was not there will live in the same inheritance as those that were there. Those of you that were unable to attend and had stayed by what needed to be stayed by here at home, where you were working, etc. He was really saying once again that the family is going to go in together and no one is going to be left behind. In regards to the conference, it wasn't an event. It was another step into a lifestyle of how we're all going to live. It goes back once again to 9/11, really from about June forward of last year when the Lord began to speak different in the words that were coming forth, either words of knowledge, words of wisdom, or tongues interpretation. It seems as though that He has found, and we're only finding, the remnant, or let's say a group of His sons and daughters who are just beginning to walk in some level of maturity that He can bring responsibility and accountability to us. He first brings grace, and if we'll receive the grace, then we have the ability to accept the responsibility and the authority that He's giving us. Outside of being, if you don't receive the grace, the authority and responsibility just lays over there. Okay? Because it is not by might, it's not by power, but it's by My Spirit and it's grace. The conference, way back in the beginning when it was first beginning to be planned, went contrary to all known policies or procedures, etc. But as everyone, not one person, but everyone took step by step by step, it was able to take place and a level of fulfillment. As far as I'm personally concerned, I only have one word for the conference, and that's holy. Beyond any holiness in an event from beginning to end to afterwards. They sing a song down there, and I believe it goes something like, let the weight of Your glory come. The weight of His glory You have all felt it here, maybe once or twice at the prayer center. But the weight of His glory came and it stayed. And it did not stay necessarily because of the leadership, though the leadership was also part of allowing it to come. It came that there was a group of people with a single mind, single purpose, came in some type of a unity that you very seldom, or at least we very seldom, have ever experienced in the past. I won't say that it was at the same level of the upper room and when the day of Pentecost come. I wasn't there, so I don't know that weight of glory that came. But that weight of glory, at least a portion of it came. No children ever interrupted a service. Though there was dancing and there was warfare worship, nothing was out of order. You almost, if you weren't involved with it, okay, you could not ignore it, and you embraced it in your spirit that this is God. Okay. The love that we have here at the prayer center was the same love that was demonstrated by all of the leadership. I don't necessarily look for things like that. I just live there. But I parked, it rained one day, and I parked my car out at the edge of the property like we do here at the prayer center. And someone came out with a large umbrella. I didn't have an umbrella. To make sure I didn't walk in the rain. They didn't do it because I was Tim Stemple and I was from the prayer center. They did it for everybody. They did it for the single mother who had a child who had never been there before. So the love came first and then His glory was able to come. I could go on. We knew we were at the right place at the right time doing the right thing, and He was able to come and add His blessings, add His anointings. There was no one that would have come that it was even possible for them to leave the same. We will have all of the tapes here, all the CDs here, back in the bookstore for free the moment that they finish editing the tapes. Let me see if there's anything else. Because we've heard the prophecy of 9/11 about the foundation no longer being laid, and that each one was going to begin to build their structure. This was a conference that, as I seen it maybe 3 or 4 days in, I seen it within my mind. I didn't have a vision, but I felt like the Lord was putting all of the nails in the bag for us to put the structure up. And He was putting a hammer in our hands so that we could begin to build each one of our individual structures as He would have us. There is revelation truth that was brought forth more for the body than for gospel entrepreneurs. You've noticed in conferences, and you've also noticed in services here, when a guest speaker comes, that he would come up to the platform like David Hogan did last time, and he wasn't sure where he was, and he was unfamiliar with the resident anointing or the resident presence of the Lord on the stage. That happened down there with a gentleman that spoke, and you could see him. You know, he was not comfortable at all, and he finally spoke it like, you know, I've never been here. I mean, I'm not sure what it is, but let me see if I can read this scripture. LaRue calls the prayer center the elbow of the body of Christ. And he sees the prayer center as the elbow, and that he's the hand in Houston, and the elbow moves it. Okay. And he gives great, really great glory to the Lord and honor to Dave, his father, and rightfully so. All of you that know LaRue, that, you know, he told some stories on himself, and hopefully they won't edit them off the tape, so you can see that there's hope for all of us. It was just a continuation of the life that we're beginning to walk and the victory that we're beginning to walk in every area, in every single area. Larry's testimony about doing the message, you'll probably be hearing a lot more about that in the coming weeks, because there is an accountability, not to man, but to the Lord, for us to take what we have heard, and though we are all doers of it to a certain level, I believe the Lord's asking us to become more of a doer in every area that he's taught. Okay? And it's full of love, and it's full of gentleness and kindness. He will not drive us. You know, he'll lead us like the good shepherd. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I know that there are, I look around the room, I see a lot of faces that were there. And I've been asking the Lord, you know, I said, I don't want to slight anybody or anything. I just want to do what you want to do. And there may be opportunity for others to give testimony, but I think that's what he wants, that's sufficient for tonight. Now, using Larry's as the launching pad, and also since Tim finished up there also, I can just tell you, plain, I could prophesy it, or I could just tell you, even us old-timers, it's been around here a long time, we got to change. You hear me? What I'm hearing in my spirit is you have prayed yourself to a certain comfort zone. Thank God for the change that has happened. But you are now operating in a zone that's comfortable to you, but it is not my perfect will for your life. Now I'm calling you to come and bow at my throne, says the Lord, and receive your instruction regarding the message from me. Just like in the beginning, when you began doing the message and you had to say, well, how many hours a day? And I can't tell you the number of people that still, when they're new to this message, they try and get a formula, you know. But do you pray 3 hours and confess 2 hours? Do you fast this many days a week? And our answer is always no. You need to begin doing the message on some kind of a regular basis, all right. But ultimately, each of you, each of us, Gary included, okay, I'll do that one. We have to get our instructions from the master. And if you really just, we're looking in the wrong places, you know. We're not looking so much in your head as in your heart. You know, and you don't know how you know. You know about how long you're supposed to be praying. You know the stuff he's dealing with you on. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Regarding, I told y'all there's three phases, three things, three main areas in mine and Sue's life. Where over these years, either directly as we would pray and hear the Lord ourselves, or through prophecy through Dave, prophecy through others. If you begin to sort all of those words into, you know, personal words to us out, they fall in three categories. One of those three is the teaching ministry. And you can tell that I have given most of my life to that. Well, there's these other two areas. And I know right now you want me to tell you what they are, but it's still none you. Because I don't want you focusing on that. We're really talking about what he's calling you to do. But I am using myself as an example. Okay? Now, one of these areas, one of these others, I had it in my mind pretty big. I thought, okay, this is pretty, Larry, this has a lot to do with what you told me under the stairs. But I knew this a long time before you talked with me. And in my mind, one of these other areas, not the teaching, one of the other areas, where I know the Lord now is not to go on from here. I can't ignore this anymore. Again, I'm reminded of when the Lord asked Dad Hagin that time, says, what were you planning on doing? Remember when I told you about the prophet's anointing and the teaching anointing? And you're still doing this evangelizing, which is good, but what were you planning to do about what I told you regarding that prophet's anointing? And Hagin's answer was, Lord, I wasn't planning on doing anything about that. And he says, well, if you're going to go on from here, you can stay where you are, but if you want to go on with me, then you're going to have to do something about it. That's exactly where Sue and I are right now. With, it's not a prophet's anointing, but it's another area, and that's, he's dealing with us. Okay, so in our mind, in my mind, I'm not going to exactly speak for her, but in my mind, I had a certain idea of what this was going to be. And I thought it was big. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I can do this. Man, this is going to be really tough. And it's part of why I've probably shied away from it over the years, because teaching comes pretty natural to me. So I, you know, but I've come up to this now. I can't ignore it anymore. So I'm dealing with it. Sue and I are praying one morning. And in a flash, the Lord gave me a little vision, just a little mini vision. And in an instant, I saw just a glimpse of how big this thing really is. And I died. Everyone say, thank God. Because what he has in mind, Larry, remember our conversation? What he has in mind makes what I thought was big so minuscule that he's going like, you didn't really believe those thoughts were from me, did you? I think a lot bigger than that, boy. You know, I think a lot bigger than that. And when I saw what he's really talking about, it's like standing at the Red Sea. And he says, part that. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? I can't. And he's going, with me you can. And so now we're facing this. And I at least, and it may not be, I mean, he probably just showed me enough to kill me. What he really has in mind may be a lot bigger than that, but what he showed me was a big enough to where I instantly, I shared it with Sue, and we both instantly, we know, we can't do this. There's nothing about us that makes it possible. It's beyond us in our whole lot, nothing in our history. We feel just like, kind of like Abraham and Sarah. You know, what he's wanting us to do, this is impossible, and all of our history proves it's impossible. And God's going, finally, you're going to have to get me involved? Huh. Well, now, this brings us right up to this comfort zone. Because I know he's serious about this. I know he wants to do this. And I know I'm going to stand before him one day and give account for it. He says, why didn't you do this? Why didn't this happen? Do you think me standing there saying, I can't, is going to get her done? You think that's going to be approved? Do you think that's going to be okay? He's going, I didn't call you to do it anyway. I called you to be the vessel through whom I could do it. When did you choose to quit doing the message? When you hit a comfort zone that you could live in? He says, I've got a little higher comfort zone for you. Now, what he calls comfort, we oftentimes call pain and suffering. You might as well know that. Paul and Silas in the stocks at midnight, backs bleeding, perfectly in the will of God. Now, it wasn't, you understand what I'm saying? They were where they were supposed to be, doing what they were supposed to do. Now, the devil did that to them. It doesn't change the fact that they were right where they were supposed to be, doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. Walking at a high place in their calling. So, Larry, we're all of us, the old timers too. See? The old timers too. Wherever he's brought, how many of you are glad he's brought you from where you were? God. Sue and I remember the day we walked through the doors of this place. We were a disaster with legs. We were just going somewhere, you know. We were destroyed human beings in every sense of the word. Thank God we're not there. Thank God he has picked us up and brought us to a place, but I see what I've done and I didn't mean to do it. I've kind of gotten comfortable. And my work, the work that we're doing for the Lord, has a certain positive feedback. You know what I mean by that? There's a feeling of accomplishment. There's a certain, we're okay. Until he shows you one of those visions. And you go, oh my God, you want that? Lord, the way I am, I can't walk there. He said, let's talk about the message. Because you don't have to stay the way you are. Shondai, my Hyundai again. Here we go again. Lord, do you have any other message? No, this is the one. This is the one right here. So it's going to require change. And see, this one, just so you guys, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I've already had people after person after person after person, and you can look at me and tell I'm having trouble too. I have had more people tell me, this has been the hardest year for me to break into fasting. I mean, I've heard it from the old timers and people that's been at this a long time. They say, I have never had so much trouble. And me too. Plus, just even getting back into the regimen of prayer for 4, 5, 6 hours, you know, just, I mean, it's been just really, really hard. And I couldn't figure that out. Just in this conference got it sorted out for me. I know now what it is. See, when Sue and I first walked through the door of this church, we were destroyed. We were looking for a way out of our misery. We were looking for a way out of all the destruction that we were in. And we latched hold of the message because when it comes to difficulties and problems, the flesh is looking for a way out. And it did bring us out. It brought us to a place of fair relative comfort compared to where we was. But now we're comfortable. We've got a ministry. After all my messes, she didn't leave me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. She's, you know, and things are going well. Our family's saved. Our grandchildren are saved. We've got a ministry going on. You know, everybody's getting along with everybody. Hey, if you got all that going for you, you've got about the best this world has to offer right there. You know, if all the family's getting along, everybody's healthy, and everybody's saved, going to heaven. Glory to God. So you get a comfort zone that we were not in. Now my flesh goes, well, it's okay. I kind of like it right here. You know, you don't have to die anymore. You can just live right here. And then the Lord comes along. And he goes and shows you, opens your eyes just a little bit, shows you what he wants, just a little glimpse of it. But that little glimpse, you already know just looking at it, I can't go there the way I am. I cannot go there the way I am. And the flesh does not want to die. It's going, listen, you killed me that much, you're not killing me anymore. but it has to be killed. Y'all understand why it's harder? Understand it. That's why it's harder. Your flesh kind of likes where you are now. You got some sense of accomplishment now. Get positive feedback now. I'm able to give more than I used to. I'm able to do this or whatever it is that feeds you. But boy, I pray God opens your eyes. Let's just pray that. Father. Say, Father.
Father.
Open my eyes. Give me a real glimpse.
What
I can stand. Of what it is. You're really calling me to do. Show me enough of it. Where I have to die. Where I have to change. And give me a taste of it. That makes me so hungry, I can't live without living there. Show me a vision, Father. Open my eyes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I have great respect for Pastor Dave, that he would draw back the way that he's doing. I have great respect for the Holy Spirit that He would trust Tim and I, Alan and others, I don't mean to, but He would trust us not to split the church. You do know that's what usually happens when God's tried to do this in the past. One thing that I noticed also at the conference, I never picked up 1 ounce of competitiveness.
That's right. Yeah.
There wasn't an ounce of it, was there, Ed? Wasn't an ounce of it. It was just like, we servants of the Lord have come to serve.
That's right.
That's the way, that's the attitude. From, didn't matter if he's at the pulpit or in the seat. We, the servants, have come. And our desire when we leave here is to be more of a servant than when we came. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I have no idea what to do now. What do you want to do, Lord? Yes, sir. That's why I looked up there. Come on down here. What are you doing, hiding? Come on down here. You. Yes, come on down here. Lord, you can't hide from God. He'll point you out up there. Hallelujah. You might as well know our services are going to get strange and unusual. It's okay. I'm just flat telling you, I don't intend on running them.
Praise God.
I don't care if I walk up here and y'all pray in tongues for an hour and a half and we all go home.
Hallelujah.
Going to be real? We're not going to do it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Say, holiness
unto the Lord.
Lord, it is my desire that my life, my house,
my
business,
my
family,
becomes holiness to the Lord,
that even my trash cans
are holiness
unto you.
Lord,
let my life
be sacred,
devoted,
and
holy
unto the Lord.
Now, Jeremy was there.
Glory to
God.
Now,
they had quite a
worship team.
I mean, they
got the stuff, don't
they? They got all the
good. I mean, one thing about
LaRue, anywhere LaRue
is, there is
a spirit of excellence.
I mean,
they had...
I
mentioned to Sue
one time,
how are we going to
get
Jeremy back
down on the farm?
I mean,
they had
guitars
and drums
and
bugles
and
whatever,
you know, what do you call
those, saxophones?
I don't know what all those
things. And
Jeremy's,
yeah,
glory
to God.
But then
there would be times
when it would just be
Jeremy.
And it
was
wonderful
how they knew.
It would
just be Jeremy
and that
piano.
One time,
he didn't even
know that his
piano wasn't
making sound
because
he had headphones,
and to him
it was.
And
it was just
his voice.
And I mean,
the
anointing filled
room.
Anyway, from your point of view, just share some things. What the conference, how you feel. You got to use this thing.
How I feel. Wow. To me, I did not leave the same person. It was, for me, it was a time of vision for my life. You know, one thing that Sophie and I believe, we are not kings. And a lot of the conference was directed towards kings. What we believe we are stewards. And my wife's gift, her calling in the body of Christ, combined with mine, that's where we believe we sit. So I'm looking and I'm watching and I'm listening to the teaching, being blessed. I will say I have never heard Gary better this last week. The way that the Holy Spirit took him and such detail. And it was different. And when I say that, I don't know how to explain it to you other than you sat and the way that the Holy Spirit began to speak to you, you left not just with seeing something, you left with full understanding. Does that make sense? Okay? It's like if I listen to Pastor Dave teach on the brand new revelation that he's got, and he teaches it as much as he can teach it, and then I walk away with 100% understanding of that, to where I can go out into my call, into my place, and fulfill it 100%. That was what it was like. There was no misunderstanding. There was empowerment with it. I felt as though every day, if I was going to take these steps and I was going to walk up the steps, instead of the first day taking just one step, I took all the steps. And then the next day, it was that same amount of steps, but we took that same amount the next day. To me, it was just one level upon another level upon another level, and we kept going higher. From my part, working with their musicians and their worship team, you know, I have never been so welcomed and yet so I got to watch them in prayer behind the scenes. I got to watch all the technical things. I got to watch their elders. These are things that I watch, and I don't know what everybody else watches. Okay? But what I saw in them was everything that is taught to us and that many of us have put into strong practice into our life. I saw that that has been totally duplicated there. And that in their life, in their church, that they had captured unity. I've never seen elders at such peace and operate in the level that they operated in. Their worship team operated in unity. And boy, from the first note, here would come the presence of God. I heard some people say from the moment they stepped in the place, and this was many times, one pastor got so captivated in the parking lot, he sat out in the parking lot trying to get out of his car for over 45 minutes, just trying to get into the building. And he had just driven in from Dallas or someplace. Because that kind of presence and glory had came, and we didn't get visited day by day. That's not what took place. Every day he was there and he inhabited the place. And every day we went to the table and the Father was at the head of the table and he was serving out the meat. He was serving out the potatoes, the vegetables every day. And you ate until you were full and fat, you know, and then you went back to the table until you could get more. It was wonderful. For me, it was life-changing. I'm not the same at all. I can tell that the measure of grace that I am now walking in is measurably different than it was the week prior to that. And I can also say honestly that we could step away. There was wonderful teaching that took place, but no one outshined above another one. Everyone was preferred above the other. And by the time it was done, the only person that could get glory for it was the Lord. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, there was no glory left. I mean, there was none to be taken for a personal thing. And if you tried, I mean, you wouldn't dare try. I saw that from the worship team, you know, through the speakers, through anything else that happened. The Spirit, when the Holy Ghost would move through. I mean, we saw Gary being carried around by two men. His legs were gone. It took two or three men to carry him around. You know, same thing happened to LaRue. You know, but that was not a point of now Gary is more spiritual than anyone else. And that all of a sudden the focus got put on Gary. That wasn't what it was. It was that the Lord came and He took His vessels and He poured through them as much as He could pour through them. And if it had mean taking out His legs, that's what He took out to do it. Boy, how much was accomplished. I think Pastor Dave even mentioned it on Sunday that I didn't get it word for word, and I was sitting over there, so I may not have heard it right, but that he saw such marked change that was taking place during the meetings. And I can testify to that. That was what was happening. A lot that was talked about, and I'll say this because I believe the Lord was preparing my heart. In December, kind of the middle, and Gary, you'll probably remember this because I emailed it to you. I was sitting over there, and the Holy Ghost just dropped on me during a service, and I don't remember if it was Wednesday, Sunday. And he began to speak to me and said, this is what he told me. And I know this was preparation for my own heart for this meeting. But he said, I have now begun to turn back rivers, redirected rivers. And he said they were pointing this direction, meaning to the prayer center. And if I say the prayer center, I could say it in Houston. I could go to Immokalee. I could go to Seoul, Korea. I could go to any place that we as a family have begun to connect and press into this. He said those rivers have been turned back. And now they're flowing. At the end of the conference, that was the word. Was let the river flow. And that the Lord had taken His hand. I think, Gary, you said it the best. He had taken His hand to the river and stopped it and began to push it the other direction. You know, where we've seen the body of Christ and mainstream Christianity go, I believe what we're going to see is the Lord has stopped it. And He's going to push it back into the direction that He's always wanted it to go, to where it's pure and undefiled. And that in this hour, in this time that we are living in, that holiness, righteousness would be a theme and a banner that we will hold higher than anything else. And that integrity will be one of the highest things that we are sought after. That the character of God in us, that all that people will see is Jesus in us. That we have put ourselves upon an altar, sacrificed the flesh to the point that there is no more us being seen. But that Jesus is beginning to be glorified through not just a person, but through a body called the body of Christ. Finances is just going to be one of those rivers that's going to begin to flow. The kings that were there, I don't know you know, how much change or how much that they felt as though they got. I do know this much, the favor that now rests upon them is much higher. And I would say it's probably over all of us. I don't believe that you, just the people that were there, that this took place. There was major breakthroughs that went into the realm of the Spirit. That means though everyone that can grab a hold of it, you can get it. So if you're a king here, if you weren't there, it's just as much for you, waiting for you to grab hold of it now, so that you walk with it, you walk in it, and that you possess the land that the Lord has called you to possess. When the DVD or the videos and the audio things are there, go get it. And don't wait. The table is spread. Go eat. Get full. And then go and conquer your own land. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you personally attended the Azusa Street Revival in the 1900-1901? Oh, nobody was there? How about the Wesleyan Revivals? No? Would you say that any of those, I could go on and on with many names. Would you say that those things, you're part of the reason you are who you are? Did those things impact who you are? Even though you weren't there, that's what's going to happen from this. It's, you can't inoculate any part of your physical body and that not go throughout the body. The body of Christ got an inoculation last week. And it's going to go throughout the body. All who will receive it, it's coming to you. Amen. I feel like the Lord would have me close with this verse again. Holiness unto the Lord. Do y'all think that's cool how the Lord did that? Watching those guys carrying those trash cans out. They were just having a good time. I could tell. They were just talking and enjoying the conference. Carrying the trash out to the receptacles. And the Lord says to me, holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. So I look it up. I'm going to read it to you. Zechariah 14, 20 and 21. We're going to close on this. We're going to dismiss you then. But now if you came for prayer, if you need prayer, we're going to ask you to come put your toes on the green line after this. And we have a standing arrangement with the Lord around here. We pray and He answers. It's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. In that day, the bells on the horses will have written on them, these are holy property. And the trash cans in the temple of the Lord will be as sacred as the bowls beside the altar. In fact, every container in Jerusalem and Judah shall be sacred to the Lord Almighty. All who come to worship may use any of them free of charge to boil their sacrifices in. There will be no more grasping traders in the temple of the Lord Almighty. Father, we thank You for holiness, a spirit of true holiness upon the body of Christ in this hour. We receive it and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer or want to stand in proxy for someone, come put your toes on the green line.